Welcome to EncLive On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. EncLive On Air is a podcast from EncLive, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, EncLive covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Brian I. Rini, MD, a professor of medicine and inaugural chief of clinical trials at Vanderbilt Ingram Cancer Center, to discuss the FDA approval of tivozanib in renal cell carcinoma. On March 10, 2021, the FDA approved tivozanib for the treatment of adult patients with relapsed refractory advanced RCC following two or more prior systemic therapies. The approval is largely based on findings from the Phase 3 TiVo-3 trial, in which tivozanib demonstrated a significant improvement in progression-free survival compared with sorafenib, with similar overall survival in patients with highly relapsed refractory metastatic RCC. Data showed that the final hazard ratio for OS was 0.97. Moreover, an updated analysis of the data found that, with a median follow-up of 38 months for tivozanib and 40 months for sorafenib, the median OS was 16.4 months for tivozanib and 19.2 months for sorafenib. A subset analysis showed the greatest benefit was derived by the cohort of patients who previously received a checkpoint inhibitor and VEGF inhibitor with an HR of 0.55 or two VEGF TKIs with an HR of 0.57. Prior findings showed an increased median PFS for tivozanib compared with sorafenib at 5.6 months versus 3.9 months respectively, with an HR of 0.73. The TiVo-3 study was a controlled multicenter open-label phase 3 trial, which randomized 350 patients with highly refractory metastatic RCC who had failed at least two prior regimens, including VEGF TKI treatment, one-to-one to receive either oral tivozanib or sorafenib. Crossover between arms was not permitted. 18% of patients in the tivozanib arm achieved a partial response versus 8% of those in the sorafenib arm. The objective response rate was 34% for tivozanib versus 24% for sorafenib. Treatment with tivozanib was generally well tolerated, and the safety profile was favorable compared with sorafenib. Treatment-related adverse effects were reported in 84% of patients receiving tivozanib and 94% of those receiving sorafenib. Serious TRAEs occurred in 11% of patients treated with tivozanib versus 10% of patients who received sorafenib. The most common grade 3 or 4 AE reported in patients receiving tivozanib and sorafenib was hypertension at 21% versus 14% respectively. The most commonly reported any grade AEs associated with tivozanib were hypertension, diarrhea, fatigue, and decreased appetite. The investigators reported significantly reduced dose reductions and interruptions because of AEs for tivozanib versus sorafenib at 48% versus 63% respectively, despite nearly double the average time of cycles initiated for the tivozanib arm. Treatment-related AEs leading to permanent discontinuation were 8% for tivozanib compared with 15% for sorafenib. In our exclusive interview, Rini discussed unique elements of the TiVo-3 trial, the significance of the FDA approval of tivozanib in advanced RCC, and potential next steps for research with the TKI in the paradigm. Could you just provide an overview of the patient population that was enrolled in the phase 3 TiVo-3 trial?
So in TiVo-3, patients were enrolled if they had two or more prior systemic therapies, including at least one prior VEGF TKI. So broadly speaking, a pretty typical refractory kidney cancer population where, when the trial started, VEGF TKIs were standard. As it was accruing, immunotherapy became more standard, as you may know. And so as a result, many patients also had prior immunotherapy, but it was basically a third or fourth line kidney cancer study.
So what was noteworthy about the efficacy data that we saw from the study?
I think what's noteworthy about TiVo-3 is mostly the setting in which it was conducted, meaning there'd never been a study specifically in third line or later kidney cancer that had shown any advantages of one drug over the other. And it's unfortunately a very common scenario in kidney cancer. Most patients will get multiple therapies because most of our therapies aren't curative, although that's changing with immune therapy. Patients get sequential palliative therapies, and so many will make it to third and fourth line. So it's an important setting for patients to do trials in that space and show benefit.
Now, backing up a little bit, what about the mechanism of action of tivozanib distinguishes it from other available agents in renal cell carcinoma?
So tivozanib is a very potent and selective VEGF receptor inhibitor. And as you may know, there are several VEGF receptor inhibitors approved for kidney cancer. I've lost track of how many. And they all have a little different profile. And there are those that are more selective, meaning they really just inhibit the VEGF receptor. Tivozanib would be among them. Axitinib would be another. And then at the other end of the spectrum, there are drugs that inhibit not only VEGF, but a multitude of other targets. And these would include more modern drugs like cabozantinib and lenvatinib or sorafenib, which was the control arm of TiVo-3 as an older drug, the first TKI approved. And so I think there's probably debate in the field over, you know, whether a more selective versus less selective is the right approach. And it's probably neither. More selective definitely means less side effects, in my opinion, because it's just a cleaner profile. You're not hitting all those other targets. Whether there are efficacy advantages to some of the other targets, I think is probably not well sorted out. But again, if we just look at the TiVo-3 data, we have a selective inhibitor versus a less selective inhibitor showing advantages. So at least in that setting, in that trial, and with those two drugs, a more selective inhibitor has advantages.
So then what AEs do clinicians need to be aware of when prescribing tivozanib?
Tivozanib is I think, the best tolerated TKI. So that's the good news, is that it's really easy to receive for patients and to give for providers. It has typical VEGF side effects. So high blood pressure, hoarseness, what we would call on-target side effects. Some of the other typical ones like diarrhea and fatigue, although those are much less common than the multi-targeted. So I think probably, you know, by now, 15 years into the approval of VEGF TKIs, most providers are fairly familiar with their profiles. And as long as they've given other TKIs, this tivozanib will be, if anything, easier to give.
How is the approval of tivozanib going to affect the treatment algorithm?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. So right now, TiVo is approved in patients who have received two or more prior systemic therapies. So as you know, commonly we would give patients an IO-based doublet up front, ipi-nivo or one of the IO TKI combos. After that, patients, if cabozantinib is commonly a second drug if they haven't gotten it already. So my guess is that initially TiVo will be used very commonly in that third, fourth, fifth line setting. And there's plenty of patients out there who've already gotten 2, 3, 4 agents. And this would be, you know, certainly a welcome additional option for them. I have a feeling, given its tolerance and activity, that it sort of could creep earlier in lines of therapy, even though, again, its label in TiVo-3 was done in a third line, third or fourth line setting. And it's also being studied in, you know, in other settings as well. But I think it'll probably on average be a third line drug. Tolerability is the calling card of this drug, you know, and it's regulatory history is unfortunate, the way it sort of unfolded. It took about 8 to 10 extra years to get the drug approved. But be that as it may, I mean, we always need more drugs in a disease, and we especially need drugs that are tolerated in a refractory setting. Those patients are not cured by VEGF-targeted monotherapy. They're just not. So to me, as patients progress through lines of therapy, the tolerance means a lot more. I think it means a lot more to patients because they know they're not getting cured. And so you start to ask yourself, am I helping this patient more than I'm hurting them, right? That's what we always ask ourselves, but it becomes more pointed in that refractory setting.
Now, in terms of the future of tivozanib, do you see it remaining as a monotherapy option or in combination with immune therapies, as seems to be the trend?
Yeah, so there's a large trial being planned for tivozanib in combination with nivolumab. There was some initial cohort data from a French study, and that's being looked at in an IO refractory population. So one of the main questions in kidney cancer is, can patients have two shots at immune therapy, two shots at cure, hopefully, as opposed to just one up front? And that's unanswered, but there are trials, including what's called the TiNivo-2, if I got it right, trial that's about to start. And then I have a feeling there'll be other investigator-initiated studies, perhaps looking at dosing, neoadjuvant setting, et cetera. So as after a drug's approved, then the investigators can get their hands on it and look at it in other academic settings.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science Summits and Institutional Perspectives in Cancer webinars. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.